welcome to another episode of All My Issues. In this episode, episode 46, we continue our discussion about Rick and Morty. In this episode, we talk about season 2. We talk about all of the episodes in season 2, and we rank them. So, without further ado, let's get started.
Sam.
And I'm Chris.
All right, and we are going to continue our exploration of Rick and Morty.
Yes, which deals in alternate dimensions and timelines recurring sometimes.
Sometimes.
An all too familiar feeling.
Yes, yes, indeed it is. So in this is part two of our, I guess, three part, at least for right now, until the next season comes out. So we're going to talk about season two of Rick and Morty, right?
All right.
So, I guess we'll start from the beginning?
Yes.
So season two, episode one. Titled, A Wrinkle in Time. This episode picks directly up from where the season finale left us.
Got it.
Rick froze time so they could clean up the house and everything because they threw a crazy party.
And things got squashy.
Things got squashy. Yes, they did. So, I'll read a brief synopsis about this episode. So, like I had said, they spent 6 months repairing the house after they had the party in it and kind of destroyed it. After unfreezing it, the trio ends up in a decaying dimension. What ends up happening is they split into separate timelines. Because they have feelings of uncertainty.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
So, and then because of this, Rick becomes paranoid, thinking that his duplicates want to kill him. But he eventually calms down. Then a monster comes back. It was a time, I forget, this is the time.
Testicle?
Time testicle.
I don't think they call it that.
I don't think they call him that either. That's what he looked like, though.
Yeah.
I think we would all assume that's what
they were going for.
They were going for, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And if I learned nothing else, it's go for the testicle.
Go for the testicle.
It's a motto in a fight.
Yeah.
It's a motto in the club.
That's their.
You know, whatever.
Well, where I'm from, it's referred to as Nards.
So. Yes.
Nards.
Nards.
Nards. Go for the Nards. So, but they, so the time testicle monster comes and, is mad at Rick for stealing that time crystal. So things ensue and they finally end up defeating the time testicle by simultaneously beating him at the same time with all the different uncertainty dimensions, if you will. And then finally integrate all the timelines into one, wearing those collars that the monster gave them. But also, I guess there's the thing, too, where...
The collar wouldn't shut on the one Morty.
Yes.
And Rick tries to sacrifice himself a little bit. And he ends up, he grabs it, and he's making peace with God and, you know, whatever. And then he suddenly gets it to... to snap, and he's like, I was just kidding, you know, whatever.
Taking everything back.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was brilliant. Yeah, and then all the time, all the while that's happening too, there's that other side story happening with Beth and Jerry where they hit a deer and then they go to an animal hospital and that hunter claims the deer's is and all that, and Jerry concocts this plan, very complex plan about having the deer and
to get them out into the woods and so she can work on the deer.
Play a little Enigma, Return of Innocence, think in that. Appropriate.
So Sam, impressions of this episode? Because I think we covered the...
Yeah, that's pretty thorough description of the episode, I think.
Yeah. I think we could have just showed the episode.
It would have been less time consuming.
All right. I thought it was a pretty good episode. The testicle agent, time agent, was pretty funny. The whole different scenarios was pretty funny. So yeah, I liked it.
It too, a lot. I loved the alternate timelines gradually taking up more and more of the screen, you know. That's just a brilliant way to do it. I don't really have a whole lot of complaints about this episode. Generally speaking, the side stories usually aren't as fun as the main story. This was an okay one. It wasn't anything spectacular, though.
Yeah. Was there one moment that we think is like a highlight of the episode?
The testicle
was pretty funny.
And possibly the when Rick finally gets the collar to work.
Yeah. That I think is like the high point.
That probably for me was the best too. Just watching him just take everything back. I don't remember exactly what he said. Just kidding, I didn't need you or whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. He was all.
Yeah. And then I guess we'll mention the post-credit scene as well.
Why not?
At the end, the time testicle goes with his friend back in time to beat up what they think is Rick, but it's actually Albert Einstein.
And
they tell him to stop messing with time, and then it kind of encourages Albert Einstein to come up with his
E equals MC squared.
Exactly. His famous equation.
Yeah.
So, thought that was pretty awesome.
To me, season two overall is elevated over season one.
I totally agree with you.
Whereas, you know, there's a couple where I know last time we kind of agreed that the Gazorpa Zorp episode was on the kind of lower end of the quality. I don't think there's a whole lot of low quality season two episodes. This is really just a matter of greatness in terms of that. Maybe an exception or two, but for at least on my end.
I think so too. I think they hit their stride with season two. It's like they knew what they were going to do with the show and everything. The characters are solidified. They know what.
They're really building on that foundation of the episodes that we love the most, that I love the most. I mean, some of us can agree about the greatness of certain episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going right there.
We're starting off. We're going to see how much we agree on this one versus Meeseeks.
Meeseeks, yeah.
If I had a Meeseeks box, you know what I would ask it? Ask it to make you like the Meeseeks episode more.
More.
So that you could join the rest of us in the land of sanity. So, Sam, rating for this episode?
Are we doing 1 through 5?
Yes.
1 through 5. One being and 5 being awesome.
Yes.
Okay. I would give this episode... I would give this episode a 4.
Rick?
I would give it a 4 as well. The one thing that I like, too, is like how the episode begins when they unfreeze time and they're supposed to put that ladder back for that guy.
Yeah.
But he falls. And then... gets injured, and then you see him towards the end of the episode in like a wheelchair, and his family's around.
Sure,
yeah.
I also would give this episode a 4. So we're starting off in agreement.
Yeah. Holy smokes.
Man, it took like 8 episodes or something. last time before we finally agreed on something.
Now we're all
maybe 9.
Board.
We didn't agree to the Citadel Ricks episode last time, right?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe we did. Yeah, I think maybe we did because.
We agreed on that one, but I think that was like episode 9 of the season.
Yeah, you're right, So.
We agreed that Gazorpa Zorp was the worst of the episodes,
yes.
But I don't even think we agreed on the rating, because there was a difference. Anyway, regardless.
So. We're hitting this one off good.
Man, on the same page.
That's right.
Stars have aligned.
All right, let's move on to episode 2 of season 2.
Okay.
A double deuce.
Double deuce. The Upper Decker.
Yeah. the title of this episode is Morty Night Run.
Yeah.
Love that. Cause
Midnight Run.
Yeah. Love that movie.
the...
Why don't you share in great detail the synopsis?
Synopsis, I can't.
Of episode two.
Let's see.
and so it was.
And so it was. It happened. From Bopulous Michael, an alien assassin. It's basically... let me see how much I can summarize this. Rick sells an antimatter type gun to Crombopulous Michael.
Yes.
To eliminate an alien entity from another dimension.
Yes.
Referred to as
Fart.
Hi.
A gaseous being.
Uh-huh.
Voiced by Jermaine Clement.
Which is awesome.
From Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah. And of course, they have little musical segues and stuff where.
Yeah, so he gets to sing.
Singing. I love it. But Rick wants to spend the whole day at that Blips and
Chips.
That's, which I think is awesome,
yeah.
too. I love the, I forget the name of the game that
where
he plays.
Where that's just a giant simulation
yeah.
of one guy's life.
Yeah, it's so,
yeah.
So awesome.
That I'm not going to lie, most days I feel like I'm playing.
right. Playing and losing.
Right, seriously.
And I guess long story short is, Morty wants to save Fart.
Right.
He finds out how Fart is really planning on destroying all carbon-based life forms.
And so that was why the assassin was going to kill him. And it sets up the moral dilemma of...
Yeah.
So the assassin dies.
Yeah, Morty accidentally lands the ship on the assassin, right?
Yeah.
As he crashes into so.
And by trying to save Fart, lots of other people already end up getting killed in
yeah.
the process.
Yeah, and Rick calls him out on it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, which is, Because you think, really, at the beginning, you're like, oh, Morty's, like, trying to do the right thing. These things are turning out well. He's trying to save Fart. But no.
I was
should just let it go.
I was kind of on. I was on Rick's side at the beginning. It was kind of like, dude, you don't know what's going on. You don't know. Like assassins don't. It's not a matter of moral code. It's just they're hired to kill somebody. Why get involved?
Yeah.
Unless you know the person.
Unless you know the reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless
yeah.
you know the
yeah.
reason of the person directly, it's like just don't get involved. Just.
So, but the more you had to find out the hard way. So.
He did. So. I guess that summarizes that episode.
Yes.
Maybe a little more.
Is there a side episode?
And so it should be written.
A side plot?
A side. I don't really. There is, because don't they try to. Jerry sneaks on in.
Oh, it's the daycare for Jerry's. How could I forget the daycare for Jerry's?
Which is probably like the best side.
That's the best side plot, yeah.
<It's your jury. laughs>
yeah. How do you plug in the RCA cables? There's a red and a black one. There's a red one. I don't know.
And he gets upset and he's like, I'm going to leave. And he's like, I am leaving here right now. And the rehearsal's like, okay, you were able to do that the whole time. And he goes out there and the world's just a cruel place and he ends up going back. And it was good.
Oh, welcome back.
And I like, too, like how it kind of ends where it's uncertain whether or not they got the right Jerry.
Yes.
That's awesome. I think that's fantastic. And then it doesn't matter.
what's the wife's name?
Oh, Beth.
Like a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, version of Beth.
yeah. And they're like, aww.
No shirt, Jerry.
So, Sam, rating.
You know what? This one kind of, the side story kind of outweighs the main story.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So I'll give it a four.
I'm giving it a 4.5 because the side story to me elevates it. It's not a five by any means, but it's a good main story. I enjoyed Fart. I enjoyed the song. I enjoyed all that other. I enjoyed the discreet assassin. I enjoyed all that stuff. But then that side story was just almost better than the real story. So I'll give it a 4.5.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with a 4.5 too, just because again for the same reason.
Right? Yeah.
The side story and the main story are both solid. It's so good. So, in the post-credits scene, this is a promotional ad for Blips and Chips!
Yeah.
Blips and Chips! With Rick making an appearance. So
I saw someone wearing a Blips and Chips t-shirt. Where was that?
Oh, I need to get
it. Oh, it was Chris Hardwick.
Oh, really?
Nice.
It's the King of the Nerds!
Yay! Yeah. All right. On to episode three.
Three.
Name this episode Autoerotic Assimilation.
Oh, this is a good one.
This is a pretty good one. I think so, too. In this one, Rick takes Morty and Summer onto this damaged spaceship with his plans to loot it, and everything finds out there are aliens on that ship that have become part of a hive mind. And he finds out the hive mind is his ex, known as Unity.
Ah.
So they end up going to a planet that has been completely assimilated by Unity.
Who did the voice?
And then Rick and Unity
get it on
in a very creative and imaginative ways.
Works his way through the populace.
Yeah.
He hang glides into the stadium.
Yeah, and the stadium is filled with people that look like his dad.
Yeah.
Cheering him on. Oh, it's so strange. But yeah, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good episode.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
The side story
is the alien in the basement.
That's exactly it.
Blim Blam or whatever.
Yeah. Basically telling Beth and Jerry that
they're the worst things ever.
Yep.
he gives like Morty and Summer the finger way out.
Yes. The one thing I think that is kind of a darker moment, I guess, for this episode is at the end where Rick attempts to commit suicide.
Oh, yeah.
He's so drunk that he fails at committing suicide.
Yeah, he passes out before the thing hits him.
Yeah,
that was... And Jerry's out mowing the lawn and paying absolutely no attention.
Yes.
Like nothing's happened.
Yeah.
Apparently that device kills things throughout every dimension.
Oh, that's right.
Heard that from Kevin Smith, actually.
Because
he had talked to... They weren't able to convey it, apparently, but that was Rick trying to kill every Rick.
In every dimension. Oh, interesting. I did not... That's a real... Like, just kind of just shows you how, like, of a tortured person that Rick is.
Yeah.
And it's, you know... And I guess we kind of knew that.
I think
that behavior in the past, but I mean that really sets
it up. Yeah, I think that showed that the man of science does have feelings.
Yeah, sure.
And like really opened.
Did you figure out who Unity was?
Yeah, Christina Hendricks.
Ah, yes, from Mad Men and
Mad Men.
Firefly.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, she was the one lady in Firefly.
She was the voice.
Yeah. So, I guess what do you guys think about this episode?
Well, I don't want to go last every time.
Yeah. I can go first this time. I really like the episode.
Okay.
I would probably give it a 4. I don't think it's quite a 4.5. But
I'm in agreement.
You know, it's
to me, it lies somewhere between the 4-4-5 thing.
Yeah, yeah.
If Blim Blam was more entertaining, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't. We already knew that their relationship was messed up.
Yeah.
Let's say about 4.
All right.
We're 2 for 3.
Whoa, what is going on here?
We've, I think, matched or bettered the entire first season in terms of agreement.
And the post-credit scene is a drunken Rick attempts to contact Unity, only to be blocked by Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
Beta 7.
That was good.
That was awesome.
You're in the friend zone.
You're in the friend zone. That was awesome. All right. On to episode 4, Total Rickall. All
right.
This one is that episode about the alien parasites invading their house.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I'm going with this, and they think they keep
thinking, you know, they're messing with their memories, thinking all these people.
You remember that one time that you saved us from the...
The very first scene where they're sitting around the dinner table with the uncle that you've never seen before, and you're like, what's going on? And Rick comes in, shoots him. He's like, oh, it's an alien parasite, so you have to be on the lookout for strange characters who we don't, you know, we've never seen before and seen whatever. And they're like, isn't that right, Mr. Poopy Butthole? And he's just sitting there. And
that's right, Rick. Woo-wee.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
It is. This is a really good episode. The alien parasite, the different characters, Uncle Steve, Cousin Nikki.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking about the dude with Jerry.
Oh, yes.
You gotta go.
That's Sleepy Gary.
Sleepy Gary.
Yeah. Who poses as Beth's husband, but Jerry's lover. The family butler, Mr. Beauregard.
Oh, Mr. Beauregard. Yeah.
Frankenstein's monster.
Mm.
A talking pencil named Pencilvester, which I think is just an awesome name.
It is.
Tinkles the fairy lamp. And, of course, Mr. Poopy Butthole.
Which is real.
But at the end, Beth thinks, because, you know, they find out the only way they can determine that the alien parasites are alien parasites is because they can only create positive memories.
Mm-hmm.
And they only have positive memories with Mr. Poopy Butthole. So Beth shoots Mr. Poopy Butthole.
And just turns out he's a really awesome guy.
The way that cracked me up the most was the fact that Rick kept losing count.
Yeah.
You think out of everybody in the whole family, he would be the one that keep count. He's like, we have this Jerry 4, then Sleepy Gary. He's looking at
his Sleepy Butthole.
He starts looking at his hands. Like, wait a minute, what the heck's 4? I wrote this number down.
And Mr. Beauregard goes to the prom or something with.
Oh, yeah.
Dressed up. Five stars.
Just because of the introduction of Mr. Poopy Butthole.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, you know, you introduce a character named Poopy Butthole. That's just.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. So, yeah, I got to give it 5 as well.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a fiver.
Five for five. The post-credit scene is Mr. Poopy Butthole goes to physical therapy. And Beth is devastated because she's shot.
And she's not allowed in the hospital room.
That's right. He doesn't want to see you right now. Oh, my. Yes. So that's an awesome episode. I've watched that episode a few times since. I've enjoyed that episode so much. All right. Episode number 5. Get Schwifty is the name of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, in this one, a massive alien head.
I just would like to interject something real quick.
Yes.
Show me what you got.
If you weren't going to say it, I was going to say it. Yes, show me what you got. Yes, the massive alien head. Appears over Earth, demanding an original song and performance and everything.
No, he just demands, show me what you got.
That is true.
And Rick knows what that means.
He does. He's the only one who knows what it means.
Yes.
But what else happens? They create
a religion.
Yeah, based
about
off
the giant head in the sky.
Send people up in balloons.
A sacrifice. Yeah.
But who else is in this episode? Also, Ice-T, which is awesome. Which we find out is actually an alien.
Yes,
which is also awesome.
Yes,
and
is Coco an alien too?
That's something that they haven't answered.
No,
that body is out of this world.
Oh,
there it was. Oh, get Schwifty.
Get Schwifty. Yeah.
And introduces the President of the United States.
Yes, and that's true too.
Keith David.
Yeah, Keith David.
I was going to make Get Schwifty my ringtone, but all the ringtones I could find you know, gets the take off your pants, now shit on the floor. You know, like, yeah. And then you're like, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah,
someone from work is going to call, and I'm not going to get the phone in time.
So many times it's going to be
that
inappropriate time.
Suddenly we'll realize my phone's ringing in my pocket. I'll get it out just in time for
shit on the floor. It's Rifting. Yeah, this is man, that's a pretty good episode, too, really. I don't know if I want to give it 5, but
I will not give it a 5.
No,
I'll give it 4.5. That's what I give it. 4.5 stars.
I will round up and give it a 4.5 because I find it between a 4 and a 4.5.
Okay. All right. I'll do
4.5. Oh, man. There we go, man.
Well, yeah, I kind of keep my things in 0.0, 0.5. I haven't gotten down to the 0.2s yet, so
yeah. 4.25 stars.
4.25 stars.
The post-credit scene is back at Alpha Bactrium.
In other words, Rick and Morty, we like what you got.
We like what you got. Oh man! So yeah, the post-credit scene. They're back at Ice-T's home planet. His father rewards Ice-T by lifting his exile and restoring his true form as Water T.
Yes.
And then Water T rushes out to battle, and then it ends up being like an action movie promo type of ending. So, yes! Get Swifty!
Get Swifty in here.
All right, episode 6.
6.
The Ricks must be crazy. And in this episode, obviously, you know, the title references
The gods must be crazy.
Mm-hmm. And in this one, we find out that the car battery
is, for his ship.
For his ship is powered by a miniature universe that he created.
Wow.
And you know, stops working.
It stops working, they have to shrink down into their smaller
forms
to go in the battery, where they discover there is another smaller, the small universe has made another small universe to power theirs, and so they don't need the energy source he gave. It gave us peace among worlds.
Yes.
The flipping off.
Yes, peace among worlds.
I told him the middle finger means peace among worlds.
So, yeah, that's...
with guest star Stephen Colbert.
That's right, Stephen Colbert. That's right, because he plays the other scientist, right?
Yeah, he's the scientist that ends up and figuring out what's going on.
That's a pretty crazy episode. It's pretty awesome.
I love the idea that he's created an entire universe for something as mundane as his car battery.
Yes. And in fact, the one alien, because they go into that other miniature universe, realizes that his universe is just completely fabricated.
Mm-hmm.
Just to power his car battery, and ends up killing himself. I believe that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's I like also too that they leave Summer
in the car, and it begins.
Yeah,
it makes peace Summer between safe. The spider people.
Yeah, but that's after like all those, you know. First they
had
keep Summer safe.
Seriously, that had one of the darkest moments ever in a show that has a lot of dark moments. Is where they keep Summer safe, and they like he does a psychological scan of the one cop and shows him his like dead son,
yes,
who melts away in front of him.
Yeah,
he's like, no,
yeah, we can do this to all of your loved ones.
Yeah,
like, oh my god, yeah, that's pretty crazy. Oh man, yeah, she tells the computer not to kill anybody, and then so then it paralyzes that one dude.
Yeah,
they're like, oh god, yeah, that's. It's pretty dark.
It's pretty dark.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think about the episode as a whole?
Sam doesn't seem thrilled by this episode.
I liked it, but it's not one that really sticks out to me. It's not one that I once you were saying I remember everything, but it was kind of okay. I mean, I enjoyed the world within the world within a world, but it was just like, oh, okay. So I'm more of a, I'll give it 3.5.
3.5?
Ooh. I'm giving it a 4.
Yeah, I'm thinking like 4 or 5, but I think I'm going to round down to 4 on this one. I like the idea of the car battery. I think that's such a clever idea. It's pretty awesome. The post credit scene for this is Morty turning into a car.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Rick implanted that thing into his DNA or something like that allowed
Morty. Just randomly in school. It was a really good callback.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you're like, oh man, I forgot.
That was a great cartoon.
That is. That's awesome.
What's the name of it? I don't remember.
Kid Turbo. You're talking about the cartoon with the
Kid,
yeah, Turbo. Kid Turbo. I'm thinking it's Kid Turbo. Man, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's it.
So you're all making things up at this point. I don't remember this at all.
You know, it's called Kid Car.
No. They used to come on Saturday Supercade on CBS.
Yeah, you don't remember that? It's
no.
like a high school kid that could turn himself into a car.
When he gets hot, he would turn into a car. Because what happened was, he was driving, he got into an accident and crashed into a laboratory. And he fused with his car, so anytime he gets hot, he turns into his car.
I mean, pretty rock solid, plausible.
Yeah.
Origin story.
Into car.
All right. While you look that up, let's move on to
Turbo Team.
Turbo Team, that's it.
Yeah.
Turbo Team. All right, episode 7. The name of this episode, Big Trouble in Little Sanchez. The premise of this
episode. Little Rick!
Yeah, Little Rick, exactly. Or Tiny Rick, I think.
Tiny,
right?
Rick!
Tiny Rick! Yes, in this episode, he makes himself tiny to go to school with Summer and Morty because there's a vampire at the school.
I don't think I ever watched that show.
No, never. We're looking at
Turbo Team.
Oh yeah, there it is. I remember that. Yes, yep.
Oh wait, I kind of do remember that. I just remember that transformation.
Yeah. It's pretty bad, really. Yeah.
When he gets hot?
Yeah, when he gets hot.
Is that when he gets hot?
Yeah, when he gets hot, he turns into a car. So, but when he gets cold, he turns back.
Oh.
So he has, it's like extreme hot. He turns into a car.
There you go.
That's the dumbest idea.
Yeah, we need to make that to a movie. I don't care.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
All right. Back to episode 7. Yeah, so Tiny Rick goes to the high school to fight a vampire. We don't even get to see him fight the vampire. We just see the aftermath of the vampire because it's in a bag.
Yeah.
In a gym bag. And what, it was the coach.
The
coach's name was Coach Feratu.
Yeah, Coach Feratu.
Like, you guys have seen that coming.
yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then the whole time, too, Jerry and Beth go to couples therapy on the
couples therapy was good.
Yes.
I like the couples therapy better than the regular plot.
I think I did too in this case.
Only because of how they saw each other.
Yeah.
She was in a giant insectoid
like a
queen, alien queen kind of thing, and he was just this
slug.
Constantly turning his butt up towards
right
off the flag.
You're like, come on, seriously, this is how you see me? So good.
They're codependent.
Yeah, they're codependent. it's a pretty good episode too. And the post credit scene too, I think, is pretty good because there's that lead vampire
Yeah.
Is talking about the
Coach
Bratu saying how horrible of a name that is. You're just giving it away right there. Could be named anything else besides Coach Bratu. So, yeah, what do you guys think about the episode as a whole?
I think it's a good episode. However, I think it's one of the weakest episodes of the season. But it's still a good episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because I find the side plot was more entertaining to me than Tiny Rick.
See, I think they were kind of even as far as the story, because, you know, Tiny Rick was like, "Hey, I'm dying," and stuff. And
yeah, it was funny. You know, don't get me wrong.
And I think, like, up to that point at the time, I think people were like just chanting, "Tiny Rick, I'm Tiny Rick," all the time.
I mean, I want to make it clear that it's still 4 stars to me.
Okay.
It's just to me, it's one of the weakest ones of the season.
Gotcha. See, I was thinking you were going to go lower than 4.
No, it's still, because this, to me, there's no stinkers in this
yeah.
season.
Yeah, that's, I would agree with you on that. I give it 4 also, I think. But I do think the Jerry and Beth story is stronger, the side story is stronger. Just,
yeah.
I think it's funnier.
Yeah,
because of just the way
just you mentioned the turning up of
yeah.
the butt.
Look on his face. It's just, oh man. But, and the Coach Bratu stuff is funny and everything. But I think
you're singing the songs about.
I'm dying.
Yeah. So yeah, it's I give it a 4. It's really good, but I think the Jerry and Beth's story is better. I think it's so much better than that. I almost want to give it a 4.5.
I'm going 4.5. All right. Just because if I remember correctly, was it John Oliver who was the counselor?
That might be.
I thought John Oliver was
John
the
Oliver
dude
was,
in Anatomy Park.
Was the Anatomy Park, but it was someone who I thought he did the... It's a voice that I recognize, and I thought it was John Oliver also. But... I could be wrong, but it was a voice that I recognized. They're codependent.
Yeah, it does
sound
right.
Yeah, they do good guest stars.
Yeah, that does sound familiar. I don't think it's John Oliver though, but I think it is. I think it's somebody else. I think you're right. I think it's somebody.
Know,
yeah,
you know,
when you hear him, you're like, oh yeah, that's that actor. But
I can't think of the actor.
Yeah, yeah. Could have been. I guess we could have been a little bit more prepared.
Yeah. Don't worry about that. Yeah.
That's what Google's for, everybody that's listening.
Yes.
You can look it up and see. Or better yet, just watch the episode. You may recognize the voice yourself.
I give it a 4.5.
Jim Rash. The dude from Community.
Yeah. Oh!
Yeah.
There you
played
go.
Glexo Slim Slom.
All right.
I was counseling.
On to episode 8. Interdimensional Cable 2. So in this one, Jerry is in an alien hospital.
Yeah.
Which is just awesome.
With Werner Herzog.
And yes, the Werner Herzog is... That's awesome. And it just so happens that Jerry's testicles resembled the alien heart.
Oh, it was his slight penis.
Modifications. Oh, was it his penis?
Yeah.
His penis. Oh, was it? Okay, yeah, you're right. It was
yeah.
his penis, yeah. So, yeah, so Jerry...
Might have been all the naughty bits, I don't know.
Maybe it was. Well, either way, Jerry's
junk.
Has to sacrifice his junk.
So that the greatest being in the universe can survive.
Yeah. Which happens to be voiced by Werner Herzog.
And then the best was watching Beth originally being like, no, and then seeing the catalog and being like, well, what about, you know?
Yeah, what about this one?
What about this one? Yeah.
Get you a new one.
That's right. But all the while that stuff is going on, we get to see Interdimensional Cable again, mm-hmm. which is always fun.
This one had the plumbus.
Yes.
The how it's made.
Yeah,
the plumbus.
The plumbus and how it's made.
Oh.
That's awesome.
That was good. Was this the Jan Michael Vincent one, too?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
I found that this interdimensional cable might have been a little bit funnier to me than the other interdimensional cable. But again, when I think about interdimensional cable, they both run together.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't remember it exactly.
Either way, anytime the interdimensional cable episodes, I just think are pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just completely random. Like the plumbus, the making of.
This one, you know, if you count the Jerry and Beth in the hospital thing as the side story.
Yeah.
I found this one better than the first interdimensional cable in terms of I liked
everything that was going on.
I liked the part that wasn't interdimensional cable as well.
Yeah. I'd agree with you on that one. This one I would give a 4.5.
I give 4.5.
Four point five.
We have reached agreement. We need a gong for when we reach agreement. Let's make that happen first.
Yes. We'll insert that in.
Whoa. I don't know. I said.
Let's explore.
I said gong. Gong.
Gong. Oh,
not
gong.
Dong. Gong.
I see. So it's very. You can understand the confusion.
I can.
Yes.
Yes, I sense your confusion.
All right. The post-credit scene is Jerry tries to eat Rick's eye holes. That alien cereal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's advertised on. Yeah. And then the eye hole man bursts through the window and begin relentlessly beating him. Because the eye hole man sees you eating.
Wait, was that the... Which was the Lucky Charm cereal that you got? So... It was like where they like sacrificed the leprechaun guy. Isn't that, or am I thinking of something else?
Maybe you're thinking, that sounds familiar, but I think you're thinking of something else.
Where like he eats the cereal and they like tear him open to eat it out of his stomach.
Wow.
Or am I on crack? Am I just...
I don't know.
Man.
Chris was just going to sit a little bit further away.
I'm like, how... Like, that just got super dark.
Yeah, whoa. That does kind of sound familiar to me for some reason.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
All right, as you... Look into that.
Season 1, Episode 8, The Leprechaun.
How is it?
Oh, hello, Miss Strawberry Snibbles. Ooh, I hope nobody ever gets my hands on me and tries to steal my strawberry smiggles. I'm going to eat every last one of them, and then they'll be in my stomach, and nobody will ever be able to eat them, except for me, because they're going to be all inside my stomach. My name is Mr. Top Hat Jones, and... God forbid anyone ever take my spiky
chicken. I do not remember
snibbles.
This.
I'm keeping them all for me. Last bite. Oh, now they're all resting comfortably in my stomach. Ooh, am I feeling good? No, get away from me. Get away from me. This is my first snibble. Jesus Christ. Hurts. My entrails are out. Why would you even want to eat these? And then they're soaked with my stomach acid. Oh, Jesus Christ. Lord, save me. Save me. Take me to the light. Oh, my God. I see demons. Rick, oh, my God.
See? I'm not crazy.
No.
But it was the wrong one. That was from the
first,
season one.
Okay. Like we said,
they run together.
They run together, yeah. Indeed.
So, why don't I remember that?
I don't remember that at all either. I'm like, man.
I don't know how excited I am that it actually exists. Right now.
It was some weird fever dream.
When I said it and you both looked at me like I was...
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know, Chris.
Do I actually remember this? Or did I'm
watching too many things involving serial killers.
Oh!
Serial killers!
It's magically delicious.
Yeah. All right. Episode 9. Look who's purging now. Yes, indeed. So...
Oh, jeez, Rick.
Oh, jeez. So, Rick and Morty go to an alien planet that has a festival where the local populace
partakes in
the Purge.
And the Purge.
Yeah.
So.
Real nice planet.
Yeah, real nice planet.
They all talk so Maine-ish, you know?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, yeah. Got a real nice planet here, you know?
Big guy here before the Purge.
So, yeah, I don't know what else to really say about this episode. I mean,
yeah, it was really good. And the, when they get to that lighthouse, and the dude just has one wish, and he's like, "I'd like to read my story to you," and it's a screenplay. Exterior, outside, you know, and he's reading lines.
All the details.
And it drives Morty to the point of killing him.
Yeah.
Come on, Rick. I mean, like Morty, he had one chance. Morty, let's do a screenplay.
Yeah, in fact, that's what sets Morty off on like the killing rampage, isn't it?
Yeah, the guy demands feedback.
Yeah,
and he finally gives it to him, and then he tells him to get out because he doesn't like what he has to say.
Oh man!
I gotta give this.
Wait, is that the one where the
girl kid?
There's the girl, and they go on that just rampage of killing at the castle.
Yeah,
that was pretty fun.
Yep,
battle suits. Yeah, and so he tries to fight Rick, and this is battle suit. And Rick deactivates the power suit, like shot. So I gotta give this 1 of 5 because this one was hilarious to me.
It was hilarious.
It was pretty good. I don't know if I get.
I'm torn.
4.5, I think.
4.5. I gotta give it.
It's pretty good.
I gotta go 4.5. Yeah, but it's really close.
It is. It is very close. Yeah.
I love it.
Then in the post credit scene, Beth discovers that Jerry wasted $700 calling Taddy Mason. That I'm charged money just to talk on the phone.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mason character. Rick is like, that's just a made-up character name. Teddy Mason. So, yeah, that's a good episode. All right. And that brings us to episode 10.
Okay.
The season finale of season 2. Name of that episode, The Wedding Squanchers. So in this one, Rick and everybody attend the wedding of Bird Person and Tammy.
Bird Person!
Bird Person!
No!
Love Bird Person. So then what ends up happening at the wedding reception, you find out that Tammy is a Federation agent and attempts to kill Bird Person. Mm-hmm. Does she actually kill Bird Person?
Bird Person dies.
Yeah, but he comes back later.
Phoenix Person.
Phoenix Person, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, but then all the whole time, this was like some big thing to capture Rick. And Rick actually ends up getting captured. He turns himself in at the end of
it. He turns himself in because they went to different because of the Federation.
Bird Person, no! Bird Person, no!
The Federation took over Earth and put it under their protection, so Rick took his family to planets that
were inhabitable.
Were inhabitable, which almost kind of feels like Earth, but I don't know why,
but for whatever reason, that one of my favorite moments in the entire series is just when they land on that planet where they're like, oh, this isn't too bad, and that sun comes up, and it's like, ah!
Yes.
Screaming.
Yeah, that's right.
And they just immediately get on the ship and fly away. And they end up on the really small planet where you can walk around it, you know?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And then there was everything was on the Cobb.
Yes, on the Cobb planet.
Oh, we gotta get out of here. We gotta get out of here now. Everything's on the Cobb. Everything.
Yeah, they treated it like it was a horror movie.
Yeah. Oh man, this screaming sun thing, though, that is hilarious.
I'm glad I'm not the only one, because
I felt
right from the beginning, I'm like, I don't know why, but that is making me laugh unnaturally for what it happened. And on the Cobb thing, too. And then,
man, I want to go watch an episode again.
and then Rick giving himself up, you know, the way he does, after hearing all they had to say, and
the episode closes out with Nine Inch Nails is hurt.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a
That's a really good season finale.
It is.
You know, at the beginning, I kind of got confused because I was like, I don't remember seeing Tammy in any other episode. So it was just
Tammy kinda, was what's her face's friend.
Well, I know she was
in the end of season one. Season
I mean, I, like I,
she went left with Bird Person at that point. I think.
I mean, I remember her in an episode, but it was like when that happened, I was like, I don't really remember her as being that big of.
She wasn't that big of a deal, but it was that party episode.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It wasn't like she was a big deal, but it was like she was the side thing. It was like it was kind of funny because she's there for the party or whatever, and she ends up leaving with an alien being.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I was just like, it just all of a sudden like this.
And I feel like when she left, there was no plans on that was what was going to happen. I feel like they thought of that later.
Yeah, that's what I think. So too, yeah. Yeah.
So, third person.
Bird Person.
No.
And the phrases of Squanchy, how to use Squanchy.
Oh, yes, yeah, because the Bird Person explains that too, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he explains too, Wubba Lubba Dub Dub.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What does it mean? I forget
what it means. I am in great pain. Please help me.
That's right, yeah. And then the post-credit scene for this, Mr. Poopy Butthole asks the audience what they think will happen in season 3.
Yeah. So, it's probably going to be a year and a half before we're back. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then almost a year and a half exactly is
when they release, yeah.
Was it April Fool's Day? Was that
April
when
Fool's Day.
Yeah.
They released
the
first episode of season 3?
Yeah.
And they kept showing it back to 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 back.
That's such a good episode, too. We can't talk about it yet because it's next episode of the podcast.
That's right, man. We'll have to.
It's hard to fully appreciate this episode because it ties so heavily into the next episode, you know, because you have a year and a half between the two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But on its, like, if you're measuring this episode on its own, I give it a 4.5. But as part of a duo, I would consider maybe more, but whatever. This half of it, I give it a 4.5.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 5, I think.
You know what? I'm going 5 only because of the sun in the corner of the
car. Yeah.
I'm sticking with the 4.5.
You're sticking with the 4.5?
Even with the Mr. Poopy Butthole at the end?
I really didn't care about the Mr. Poopy Butthole at the end. My thing was the screaming sun in the corner of the
cow.
That was
hilarious.
The corner of the cow was just hilarious.
Yeah, it is. That is awesome.
Everything's on the cob. Everything. What? You could live there.
Yeah.
I'm walking to Japan. I'll see you guys in an hour.
So yeah, I guess that ends season 2.
Ooh wee.
That's all right.
That's all right. So that ends season 2. So what do we got? What do you guys think? Season 2. Definitely better than season 1.
Oh,
right?
Season 2 definitely better than season 1. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't even know. We didn't even remember that the leprechaun was getting his insides eaten.
Yeah, that's true. That's like, I'm like, whoa, I can't believe that. I don't remember that. That's so memorable. You'd think that would be memorable. But, yeah. All right. Well, I guess, do we have anything else we want to add before we sign off?
Mm-hmm. Well, wait, real quick. I don't know if we did this in the last one.
Oh, yeah.
If you were to rate the overall season 1 on a scale of 1 to 5, what would you give it?
Ooh.
This is season 1, not the one we just reviewed.
Season 1. I would probably give season 1 a 4.
I would give season 1 a 4 overall.
You'd give it 4 overall.
Yeah.
Season 2?
I'd probably give it a 4-5.
I would give it a 4-5 as well.
Yeah,
4-5.
All right. Well, I'm anxious to see what season 3 holds.
Yes. So, thanks for listening. And find out what we think about season 3 next episode.
Yeah.
Yep.
But in the meantime, check us out on our social medias. On the Twitters.
On the Facebook.
And you can email us at info@allmyissues.com.
That's right.
.com. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.